Yes, the youth and kids go. So that's half the church right there, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
That's okay. Thank you, Faustin. Of all of the introductions I've had, that's the most recent. It's a bad joke. My jokes need prayer, I think. So, you forgot to say what's happening afterwards. So right after our meeting today, do you see over here there is wonderful food? The talk may only be about 5 minutes today, just because it looks like it's good. And so if you didn't know that there is a meal after our meeting, then you're very welcome to stay. And there's going to be a soccer match as well. And guys and girls, or just guys, or anybody, is it over 25, under 25 playing? Is it Brazilians against Portuguese?
Yes.
The World Cup for the under 20 was on last night. Mexico lost in the quarterfinals, in the semifinals, didn't they? But they were playing in Bogota, weren't they? I've been to that stadium. There's a church that meets. The reason why the World Cup was not playing today on a Sunday is because there's a church that has leased that venue for every single Sunday. It's called International Charismatic Mission. It used to have like 300,000 members. I don't know how many it has now. And you were only allowed to go to church once a month because they can't get everyone in. It seats like, what, 90,000 at the stadium? 80,000, something? 60,000? So they can't get everybody in. So you're only allowed to go to church once a month. And church is more important than the World Cup. That's good, isn't it? It's very, very good. Right. Do we have some PowerPoints for me? We do. And can I move them? I can move them. Great. So some of you were at Gilberto and Maria Lima's house about 3 weeks ago on a Saturday. We had our cell leaders, we had ministry team people, we had some of the leaders from all of our campuses together for a little sort of update and here's what's coming up and those kind of things. And John Arnott, in his little talk, he alluded to a book that he's reading on dreams. Now, it's not night dreams. It's about your hopes. It's about aspirations. So we're not talking dreams like when you fall asleep. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the things that you would like to do. And in this book, the encouragement is that you are to write out 100 of your dreams, 100 things that you'd like to do in life, 100 things that you feel that God's called you to do at some point in your life. So I don't know what your kind of dreams are. How many of you have never been on a cruise ship? How many of you would like to go on a cruise at some point in your life? Okay, so that's one of your 100. Mine is a little different because I've been on cruise ships. Now my dream for cruise ships is a round-the-world cruise. So that just takes 3 months. That's not too long. So if I'm going to have that, I'm going to need to have enough money saved up. So that's another one of my dreams, is to save up enough money to go on a round-the-world trip. And it's not just me. I'm going to have Sandra go, so that's like twice as much now. And, you know, just all the different things that you have. How many of you have ever wanted to jump on off a bridge on a bungee cord? Any of you done it? Have you jumped off a bridge in a bungee cord? Not done it yet. Okay. So that's the kind of things we're talking about. How many of you have thought of starting your own business? Okay. How many of you have done that? Oscar, you're just starting your own little business. Those are the kind of things we're talking about. And here's the amazing thing, is that God is actually the one who gives those ideas. God's the one who put those in you. What was Martin Luther's dream? Freedom. Remember that great speech that he had? I have a dream. It was a great little speech of one day there's equality for every man and woman in America. And he was talking about black, white primarily. What about Christopher Columbus? What was his dream? A new land. Actually, it was a shortcut to China, is what his original dream was, and then he realized it's a new land. What about, was he going to India? Is that where he's going? No, see, the Indians take over all the time. I thought it was China. Maybe it was India. What was NASA's dream in the 1950s? Put a man on the moon. What about Apple computers? What's their dream? iPad for everybody. Their dream was to revolutionize the computers, and not to just have computers in businesses, but computers in homes, and make computers people-friendly. I think now their dream is to put a computer in everyone's pocket or everyone's purse, have an iPhone or, you know, those kind of things. They are now, if I heard it right, America's largest corporation. What is Henry Ford's? What was his? Not just cars, but what kind of cars? Sorry? Affordable cars. He was the first guy to do assembly lines, and he wanted to bring the price of cars down that people, ordinary people, could afford a vehicle. That was his dream. What about John A. Macdonald, the first Prime Minister of Canada? Do you remember what his dream was? A railroad to connect all of Canada. Do you think God inspired any of those? Even Apple computers? I think so. God is into giving revelation to every single person, not just for the benefit of Christians, but the benefit of the world. And one of the amazing things is that, and it's all different faiths, but there are seasons when faith groups really excel. And so it's been several centuries, not centuries, almost millennium, since the Muslim faith has really contributed to science and things like that. They've almost shut down inventions and thinking. But there used to be a time when the Muslims were really sharp in terms of science and things like that. There has been a time when Christians have been real contributors, and I would say through most decades, Christians have been at the forefront of medicine research and all different kinds of things that God gives ideas. But God is not just giving ideas just to Christians. So what we're talking about today is that God is able to give thoughts, concepts. He's able to put things into your heart that he would like you to do, not just for yourself, not just for your family, not just to make money, but to be a blessing to other people. And one of God's desires through history has been that people become a blessing to other people. When Abraham was, God visited him in Genesis chapter 12, he said, I will make you a blessing. Like, it would appear that Abraham's going, well, I'm not so sure I want to be a nice person for everyone else. No, I am going to make you to be a blessing. I'm going to force it on you. Well, that tells us a little bit about God's intention, is when God sees potential in us, he's wanting it to be released. So we're going to talk about that today. So a dream comes, or a thought comes, it's hope, is what we're talking about today. If you can change the word hope in your Bible to the word dream, and just think about it as a dream, as a thought. And they come very quick. And mostly the dreamers, the people who value those kind of things and maybe write them down and keep those kind of things, those are the people that accomplish stuff. Most of us have a thought and it just goes. And we forget about it completely. Don't do anything about it, it's just gone. Some of you will remember, gentlemen, they've now joined the Burloak Church in Oakville, but Steve and Lovey Da Silva, Indian family. And several times, Sandra and I went to their house and have a meal together, and I always enjoyed those times because it's going to be curry, and I love curry. And Steve took me into his office one day, and he pulled out a little black book. And on every page of this book, 50, 60 pages, is a business idea, an invention. And he's a computer guy. At one point, he was the head of he was the head of e-business for Microsoft for Canada. And so he's connecting with Bill Gates and all these big-name people with Microsoft. And on every page is an idea for a new company, a new invention. And he's just telling me the stuff, and it's like, oh, my goodness. And he goes, that would be a several billion-dollar company if I could ever get that one going. And it's just idea after idea, but he wrote them down. That was the thing that really inspired me, was he was writing them down. Do you remember Mary, the mother of Jesus? There's a little phrase that is all the way through in the stories of Mary, is that she pondered things. Remember that little phrase? She would think about what God was saying. She would think when the wise men showed up and gave gifts. It says that she was thinking about that. The Bible says that when the shepherds came and they're singing praises, she's pondering this. She's going, what does this mean? When Jesus is 12 and in the temple, and remember when they're going home and they think he's with someone else and no one can find Jesus, he's 12 years of age, and when she hears him debating and talking about Father God, she ponders it. She's thinking, what's all this about? What's God doing with my little boy? And at the age of 30, they're at a wedding. And Jesus has just started teaching. Nothing. No healings yet. No miracles yet. He's just started teaching in synagogues. And they're invited to a wedding. And he's got some disciples with him, some followers with him. And they're all invited. And they're at the wedding. And they run out of wine. Remember that story? And Mary can't stand it. All the prophetic words, Simeon and Anna, when Jesus was 8 days old and was being dedicated in the temple, and they gave prophetic words over his life. And she goes up to Jesus and said, you got to do something. And do you remember what he said? Not my time. God, my father hasn't told me to start doing miracles yet. And basically, she said, I don't care about your father. Do it. It's sort of what she said. And she turned to the waiters at the wedding and said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. And Jesus started ministry and started miracles because Mary had so many dreams and aspirations for her little boy and knew something good was going to happen, and he just needed a kick in the pants to get going. Can you imagine that? Mary was the one who started Jesus into ministry by pushing him. Why? Because she knew God had spoken to her about her little boy. She knew sooner or later he's got to get going. He's 30. He should have a job by now. Here's another mother. Exodus chapter 2, it says, the man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. And when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. The only problem with this little boy is that he's born a boy. Because the rule of the land of Egypt at this time is every Hebrew child, every Jewish boy, is to be killed the moment he's born. And when this lady sees her little baby, she's going, uh-uh. There's something special about my little boy. We're not killing him. And so she hid him for 3 months, and when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him, coated it with tar and pitch, and then placed the child in it and put him among the reeds along the bank of the Nile, and you know that little baby was Moses. And the mother saw something, imagined something. Things began to stir inside her. I can't kill this child. This is a special child. Now, I know every mom and dad feel that way when their kids are born. I know every grandparent, and I'm a new grandparent. I know every grandparent feels that way, that your kid's the best. I understand that. And my kids are the best. I understand that. It's just the way it goes. My grandbaby is the best. I understand that. It's just the way it goes. But this lady, it would appear it was just something a little bit more than that. In the book of Hebrews, if you could turn in your Bible to the book of Hebrews, there's an amazing chapter, chapter 11, that talks about faith. Do you remember that? And it's stories of men and women who did amazing things. Now, faith is one step past hope. Faith starts as hope. Faith is the activating and the action of hope. So the Bible begins by saying, faith is being sure of what we hope for. So when God gives you a thought, an idea, a dream, that's called hope. Faith is the being sure of it. And when you're sure of something, it means you do something about it. So faith is just one step past hope. And it says this. This is what the ancients were commended for. This is what all the people in this chapter, every person who's listed in Hebrews chapter 11, which is a litany of people of faith, every person there is there because they had a God thought and did something about it. That's pretty cool, isn't it? And there are three times when the writer of Hebrews, and we have no idea who the writer was, but there are three times when the writer of Hebrews interrupts the stories and gives a comment. And all three times on those comments, it is something about acting on your dreams. And so we're going to look at those three things this morning. But before we do that, let's talk about some of these people. Abel is the first person listed in Hebrews chapter 11. And what happened for Abel was it would appear that God talked to him and his brother Cain and said, give me an offering. And what Abel believed was that when God said, give me an offering, he meant now. And he meant to, you do this out of obedience and you don't wait. His brother is thinking, well, you know what? I'm a farmer, and so I don't know how much crops I'm going to have. I don't know how many potatoes are growing underground. I don't know how many apples are growing. I don't know. And he didn't know what his crop was going to be. And so what Cain did was he waited until he had his harvest and then gave. But that's not what God had asked for. God asked for an offering, and Abel, the Bible says, gave it right away, even though it would appear that he didn't know what kind of crop he was going to get, whether he's bankrupting himself. He didn't know any of those kind of things. And God rewarded him for obeying the thought that came to him. And he's the first person that's talked about of acting on a thought, acting on a dream. Then we have Enoch. Enoch believed you can experience God. That's a good one, isn't it? Where would we be if we didn't have Enoch? We wouldn't know that God can be real. But here's a man that believed it. And if it's real, I need to spend time with God. Wouldn't that be true? If God can be experienced, I need to spend time with him. And so what did he begin to do? The Bible says he began to just go for walks with God. What are his friends thinking? What's his family thinking? What are strangers thinking? Look at that guy. He's just always on a walk. Who's he mumbling to? Who's he talking to? Look at the guy. Look. He's been gone for days. When's he coming back? It's like, he's gone. And he's in the Bible for acting on a thought that God likes to be experienced, therefore hang out with God. That's good, isn't it? What about Noah? God speaks to him and says, there's going to be a flood. And he goes, okay, if there's going to be a flood, I need to do something about it. I need to build a boat to save my family and anyone else who wants to join me. How many years did it take him to build the boat? I think it was 120. It's over 100. 100 years to build a boat. Have any of you seen the movie called Evan Almighty? Hands up, Evan Almighty. Isn't that a great movie? It's basically Noah's Ark told again in Hollywood. And it's a U.S. congressman who gets elected, and he's an environmentalist. And there's another guy who's wanting to destroy forests and all this kind of stuff. And anyways, God speaks to the guy. He says a little prayer one day, and the first day of his work as a congressman. If you could use me, use me. And the next morning he wakes up and he's got a beard. And he shaves his beard and it just comes back on. And he's got his hair is growing. He's becoming Noah. And then he changes his outfits and he starts wearing, you know, goofy stuff. And the animals start showing up, and it's just a funny, funny movie. But it's true that God spoke to Noah and told him to do something that is absolutely ridiculous to everybody. But he did it. And it started with a hope. I could save my family. I could save other people if I built a boat. And everyone's going, you don't need boats in the middle of India. We'll pick on India again. Abraham, God said to him, you're going to lead nations. Well, the only problem of that is that he's impotent. The Bible in the King James has a little nice little phrase. Instead of saying the word impotent, it says his body was as good as dead. That's what that means, is certain body parts are not functioning and able to produce a child. And not just he's got a problem, his wife has a problem, she's infertile. And he's 99 years of age and his wife is 90. That's not good, is it? And he is in the Bible for saying to his wife, let's get into bed together and try to have a baby. He's in the Bible for that. A thought comes to him and he acts on it. Do any of you have a list of people when you get to heaven you're going to talk to? Anyone? Trish, who are you going to talk to? You want to see David dance. Okay. This lady right here, you put your hand up. Who do you want to talk to when you get to heaven? Adam and Eve. I got a whole list of people. One of the people I want to talk to is Abraham, and I want to say, Abraham, how many years did you go without sex before this night? Because my bet is, if you're impotent, it's 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. Like, there's no sense having sex if you're even trying if you're a guy and nothing's working. Does that make sense? And I'm sure that there's some time in there, and God speaks to him and says, come on, this dream's still there. And when he acts on it and does something about it, his dream comes true. That's good, isn't it? Alrighty, let's switch to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. The first time that the writer interrupts the stories is in verse 6. And here's what the writer says. Without faith, without acting, without doing something about your thoughts, without doing something about your hopes, it is impossible to please God. So what does that say? That says to me that God is the one who's given you all those thoughts. It says that when you don't act, don't do anything about it, you're actually displeasing your Father. And he loves it when you begin to act on his ideas and his thoughts. Now, I had one about two Fridays ago, and I haven't done anything about it other than talk about it. So we're driving, we're heading, it was two Mondays ago. On Monday, it'll be two Mondays ago. So 12 days ago, we are driving to just outside of Peterborough. We're renting a cottage. And as we're driving, there's an accident on the 401 in the express lanes, and we're in the collectors. Does it matter? No, because everyone in the collectors is also slowing down to see the accident. Have you seen that, where everyone just slows down and they're watching? And so I'm grumbling. We're missing vacation time because we're stuck in the road here watching other people watch something that we don't know what's going on. And I have this thought. Steve, you need to invent some sort of barrier that is really easy for the police to put up and just blocks everything so no one can see anything. Well, that would be a good idea, wouldn't it? So now I just need to do something about it. I need to figure out how can you do a quick little barrier that is portable, that is easy, pops up, and I don't know what you do. Put a big bubble over it or just some banners or I don't know. But something that's real easy just to block it off and so that traffic goes, okay, no sense even slowing down. Let's just keep going. And then I can be a blessing to everyone in Toronto who's driving. Yay! I could become rich over that idea if it works. Yay! I could go around the world on a cruise. Yay! I could take my wife. Yay! Sorry? All the way to Hamilton. There we go. All the way to Hamilton. So the first thing is God loves it when we take him serious. So I would suggest that one of the first things for you to do is to start making a dream list. So I've started that. And our founding pastor, John Arnott, has actually been encouraging people on our staff to start writing out a dream list and write out 100 dreams. Probably sometime next year, we're going to be having that author come and do a weekend and just encourage us in this whole activating our dreams. The second thing that the Bible talks about is when you act on your dreams, God begins to work for you. And it says in verse 16, therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. So here's the story of Abraham. In the middle of the story of Abraham, the writer interrupts and says, God was working for Abraham without Abraham knowing that God was working for him. When you begin to act, when you begin to do things, God begins to work for you. He begins to open doors. He begins to arrange things that are just seem to be coincidence, but it's not. It's called God working for you. I'll tell you a story. I don't know if you've heard this story before. I shared it at, if you were at Airport last Sunday, I preached this sermon there, so my apologies if you were at Airport last Sunday. The jokes are about the same this week. One of the guys, in fact, the home that we went to for our ministry workers barbecue a few weeks ago was Gilberto Lima. Gilberto's been in my cell group for 10 years, 12 years. He's Brazilian, and he has some finances that allow him to do some traveling. And so he's going to join me and Bayrus Daroga, that some of you know, Indian. he goes to the airport campus. Bayrus and Gilberto are going to go with me to Scotland for 10 days. We're leaving on a Thursday, and we're coming back on a Saturday. So it's just a short little 10-day trip. And we all show up at the airport together. We all go up to the counter together to check in. And Gilberto's the last one to check in, and he puts up his Canadian passport. And because he's a dual citizen, Brazil and Canada, he puts up his Canadian passport. They go, "Oh, Mr. Gilberto, glad to have you with us today. You're going to be in such and such a flight. Do you have your passport?" "Yes." "Uh-oh. Mr. Lima, are you aware that your passport is within 6 months of expiring?" "No." "You are not allowed to travel to Britain if your passport is 6 months from expiring." "That's true for most nations. You can't go if your passport's about to expire." And he goes, "Yeah, but I'm just coming back." And they go, we cannot put you on the plane. You need to have a new passport if you're going to go to Scotland." And he gets a good idea. He goes, "I also am Brazilian. I think I've got time to run home 15 minutes, get back, and still make the flight and my Brazilian passport." The lady's very nice. She's very smart. She says to him, "If you're traveling on your Brazilian passport, Brazilians need a visa for Scotland. Have you a visa?" "No." She says, "Well, I'm sorry, but we are not going to be able to take you on this airplane. If you go to the passport office, which is quicker than getting a visa from the British government, you can get an emergency passport in 3 days. So that would be, if you go to the office Friday and then pick it up Monday, Tuesday night, I'll rebook your flight for you free of charge, with no cancellation, no fee charges, for Tuesday night." And he's thinking, Tuesday night, okay, if I get on the plane Tuesday night, I get overnight, I arrive in Scotland on Wednesday, that gives me Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 3 days. That's not even worth going to Scotland for 3 days. So we say a prayer, and we're asking for God to start working. He goes to the passport office the next morning. He goes to the one in Mississauga at Bloor and Central Parkway. And if anyone been to that passport office beside me? You know how it used to be that there was this little paper wheel that had the numbers 6, 7, 8, and you would take one and just wait in line, they call your number. So he can't even do that because he hasn't filled in any forms yet. So he goes, though, and he hears the Holy Spirit tell him, take a number. In fact, take a whole bunch of numbers. So he was there real early, and he had like numbers 10, I'm just going to guess, numbers 10 to 20, and he took them all. And then an idea came to him. Do you see that big long line of people waiting? Go down about every 10th person and trade number 6 for their number. And he traded all of his low numbers for all these numbers that were all scattered. He picks up the forms. He finds out that there's a photographer in the building at the passport office. He gets his picture taken. His wife is a medical doctor. She's an eye doctor. She's allowed to sign his guarantor. And it's a different last name. She has her professional name. And so he fills in the forms. She signed them. She's with him. They sit in the lobby area just like you're sitting, and you wait for the numbers to be called and go up to the counters. And so this is all on Friday morning. And he's got all these numbers in front of him. He's got 10 numbers in front. And he looks, and it's like, oh my goodness, 2 numbers from now, I'm up. And he gets right up. Within an hour, he's filled in the forms, had his picture. He's sitting back down, and his number comes up, and he goes to a lady to fill in the forms, and he's thinking, okay, I'm going to be called back on Tuesday, and I'm going to do it. The lady says to him, so why do you need an emergency passport? And he says, well, I was at the airport last night. I was getting ready to go to Scotland with my pastor on a missions trip, and my passport is within 6 months. And she goes, I'm Scottish. Wow. Well, you know the rest of the story. He got his passport that day. She said, you know what, I'm not allowed to do this, but I can do this. If I can phone your guarantor personally right now and have it verified that this was signed, I can give you a passport in another hour. And he goes, I know that doctor is available at her phone right now. She's sitting like, you know, he's up at the desk. He's up at the desk and she's right over there. He goes, if you phone her right now, I know she'll pick up. And he's turning around. He got his passport in an hour. And he's on the plane and missed one day of ministry. That's pretty good, isn't it? So what's that? That is God working for you. Yes? And all the time, there's little things happening all the time for you and me that most of the time we're oblivious to. Have no idea that God's doing stuff, but he's opening doors. The last time that the writer jumps in the middle of all these people is later on in the passage in verses 39 and 40. And here's the key point. When you act on your dreams, God begins to make better plans. Because God's thoughts are a little bit better than your thoughts. Did you know that? The Bible actually says that God's thoughts are better than your thoughts. His hopes are better than your hopes. And the Bible says this, all of these people that were listed in that chapter, because this is the very end of the chapter, this is a summary, all these people were commended for their acting, for their doing something about a God idea. They were blessed by God. They were said, well done. And God planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. What that is saying is that when you step out, God is thinking upgrades. We usually think very small, don't we? Now, there's a few people that think big, but most of us just have a small little idea. Well, wouldn't it be nice to just do this? Wouldn't it be nice to do this? Wouldn't it be nice to do this? When God's beginning to do big things, most of you will know two of the most famous missionaries in the world by the names of Roland and Heidi Baker. And they are part of our network of churches. They're part of the apostolic leadership of our network, Partners in Harvest. And they're based in Mozambique, Africa. When Roland and Heidi were in their teenage years, he grew up in China, missionary. He was a second-generation missionary kid. His grandparents were in China, then his parents were in China, and he grew up in China. So he's growing up there, and his wife is growing up in California, and she gets saved when she's like 16 years of age, and she's like a hippie California girl. And both of them thought, I would like to work with the poorest of the poor of the poor. And so they somehow find each other at university in London, England. They're both working on PhDs. They get married, and they decide, before we go and work with the poorest of the poor, we need to probably be trained. And so they went with a British lady who was serving in the ghettos of Hong Kong, a gal named Jackie Pullinger. And they joined her ministry and learned, how do you minister? How do you do deliverance prayers? How do you just do practical things like get food and train people for jobs and all that kind of stuff? And so they did that. And then when they felt that they were ready, they said, God, what's the poorest country in the world? And so they went to somewhere, Google or something like that, and typed in, what poorest country in the world? Mozambique comes up. They travel to Mozambique and find out that there's an orphanage of like 13 kids that has been derelict. There's no one supervising this orphanage. It's just kids looking after themselves. So they get government permission to take over this orphanage, and they start. And Heidi will tell you that at our airport campus, they came for the revival meetings while they were on their vacation, came to our church, and if this is the platform at airport campus, that's the pulpit. Somewhere over about here is where Heidi came up for prayer. Someone prayed for her. She falls down. She's lying on the ground. She's out for a couple hours, and God gives her a thought. Start a church. Don't be afraid of adding new kids into your orphanage. There will always be enough food, is the thought that comes to her. And so their first church that they started, apart from having a little church for the orphans on their orphanage, was to start a church in the dump. I've been to that dump. It is not a nice place to be. It's a violent place to be. It's just terrible. People, mostly kids living in that dump, abandoned kids living in that dump. Every girl is probably raped every single night that lives in that dump area, just the way it goes. And she starts a church, and every little baby that she finds that's just been abandoned in the dump, she brings home. And there's always food. There's always food. There's always food. And God just began to do some amazing things. When Heidi shared a testimony one day, one of the girls who's an intern at our church, and she has a master's degree in something from Auburn University, gal with red hair. And she was probably in her mid-30s and finished university and doesn't have a job, and so she's working at our church. She hears Heidi, and she gets a thought, I'm going to go and help Roland and Heidi. So she's with Roland and Heidi, and it's Christmas. And she wrote a letter back to me to tell me what happened on Christmas Day. They had saved up enough money to buy every one of their orphans a present for Christmas Day. They saved up enough money to buy chicken, to have chicken on Christmas Day. Africans, Uchi, African's favorite meal is chicken. Is that right? It is. She's nodding. His favorite meal, sorry, Edith. I call her Uchi. That's her African name. Did you not know that? Oh, Uchi. Edith. So they buy all this, and they've got got 30 kids. This is like year one of their orphanage, year two, something like that. 30 kids. They've got a present for every one of them. Roland and Heidi are not famous yet. They're not doing miracles yet. They're just looking after kids. And Heidi gets an idea that she thinks is from God. There are so many other kids right around here that have no parents, no gifts. We should give our gifts to the area kids before we give them to our kids. And everyone's sort of like, oh, all right. So they give away almost all their gifts. They got all the kids together in their little chapel area and have them all sitting there. And the kids know it's Christmas. They're singing Christmas carols and all this kind of stuff. And they're just getting ready to have their gift. And Heidi stands up and says, you need to know that we gave away most of the gifts to the other children around the area. And that this is part of what Christmas is about, is to be giving. And so we gave away some of your gifts. And they had a big, like, bag. You know the dumpster bags that you can dump everything in? It wasn't that big, but a big bag like that. They dragged up to the front. And this gal from our church is telling me she's looking in, and they got like three left and 30 kids to go. And she's starting to call out to God. She's going, God, this is not right. It's not right. We shouldn't have given away all these other gifts. She looks back in the bag, and there's more gifts. And they're all wrapped. There's new gifts that have just showed up in the bag that are all wrapped. No name on them. Doesn't say boy or girl. And so they pick up one of these gifts, and the next person in line, because the kids, I've been there when they give gifts out, they all stand in line, youngest to the oldest. And so the next kid gets a gift, and they don't know if it's a boy gift or a girl gift, and they open it up. It's the right size for that child. The next one, same packaging, opens it up, right size, clothes for that child. As they're giving them out, more gifts appear until by the end, the bag is full. There's no more kids. So kids are getting seconds. All generically wrapped gifts are showing up in this bag. And everyone's realizing this is a miracle. Like God is just being, like multiplying food, God's multiplied gifts. Not only that, when they finished giving out all the gifts that were in the bag, they went out, and in everybody's truck for the workers, their trucks were packed full of gifts. When the kids went out to play in the field, are all these gifts all over the place in the same wrapping paper, all over. That was pretty good. Yeah. Belinda was her name. I can remember getting that Christmas letter from her, and she's like, oh my goodness, my goodness. How would I ever doubt that God's able to do things? God's able to do these kind of things. He's able to take your small plan and actually make it a better plan. Yes? One of the keys for all of this stuff that we're talking about today is in the book of James. James says this, don't just be a hearer of the word of God, be a doer. That's what we're talking about today. When you just hear thoughts from God, get God ideas, and do nothing, they just waste away, don't they? But when you begin to put legs to them, God's pleased, God begins to work for you, and God begins to give the upgrades. I was telling you the story already, my son and daughter, when I told them I'm on the phone with Air Canada, I'm just getting you upgrades to business class. So you get a bed to fly home to England. Oh my goodness. I've taken them out for dinner probably three, four nights. Nice meals. I paid for this, paid for that. We've taken the square one, bought clothes for them, bought this kind of stuff. They've been, thank you, that's nice, thank you, that's nice. But an upgrade, oh my goodness. I'm sure that they're going to be telling all their friends, oh, we got the flying business. Yeah, we had, you know, champagne. It wasn't all that great champagne, but it was champagne. And I'm sure that that's how they're talking about, you know, those kind of things. All the food was good. Yeah, we had real knives and forks. Yeah, yeah. They had nice warm cookies for us. That's one of the things on Air Canada, really nice cookies and ice cream. You've been on those? It's very, very nice. One more thing for you. I'd like you to stand up and get in a group of three or four people, and your spouse is not allowed to be in your group. So if you're married, your spouse is not allowed to be in your group. So find two or three people, mix and match, and I'd like you to take a look at this list here, and I would like you to pick one item from two of these categories. One item from two categories. And you got 15 seconds each to share a dream in one of those things. For example, on a travel dream, where would you like to go in the world? If you could go on any vacation, where would you like to go? Maybe it comes down to an extravagant dream. It's like, I would like to buy a $1,000 Gucci purse. So pick two things, sorry, pick one item from two different areas, and you got 15 seconds to share. Go. So just talk. You're not praying, you're just talking. You're going to pray in a moment. So you're sharing two things, one from two... From two categories. So not one idea in everyone. So we're not praying yet, we're just talking. Each. So just real short, I'd like to do this. I'd like to buy this. Pick one item from two categories. So you're sharing two things. Who in your group hasn't had a chance to talk yet? Hands up. Do we need to spend a little bit more time? Has everyone shared so far? Has everyone talked? I'm not hearing any talking back. Everyone got some ideas? All righty. Pay attention to me, folks, just for a second here. Here's what I'd like you to do now. I would like you to take 1 minute for each person in your group, and you'll start with the tallest person, which is Maria. And so the other three ladies, just put your hand on her shoulders and just bless. We're going to do two things. We're going to bless the God thought to become a reality, and we're going to bless her to be able to have better ideas, better revelations, better things that come to her in the future. Would that be all right? So 1 minute, and then you just pray for everyone in your little group. So you're going to spend 1 minute to pray for each other, that these things come true and that you get better ideas. You get more God ideas. So go. Start with the tallest person in your group. Ask for God ideas to come. Ask for action steps, partners to come, other people to help make your dreams come true. People to give you advice, have some mentors, have some money that comes along that you can seed into an idea. So just a quick prayer to bless the God thoughts that they've already had. Maximum of 1 minute per person. Okay, switch to person number two. Switch to the second person in your group. If you haven't done that yet, pray for them. If you're not comfortable with praying, you can just say, "I agree," at the end of the other person's talk, the other person's prayer. The Christian word for "I agree" is amen. Okay, switch to person number three in your group. So if you're in a group of two, you can start over. Pray a little bit more if you'd like. Okay, switch to the fourth person in your group if you have a fourth person. If you just have three, stick on number three. If you got more than four people, just sort of divide the time up and make sure that everyone in your group has someone being prayed for. And we got one concluding prayer to pray. Give you 10 seconds just to finish up. Okay, let me just pray over all of you if I can do that. So, Father, thank you that you are the giver of life. You're the giver of every idea that comes, and you're able to take a small little thought and actually make it something that is beneficial for ourselves, for our family, for our city, for our nation. Father, you're able to have small things and big things. You're able to increase our understanding of how to do things. And Father, we recognize that in the history of the Bible, all the stories of men and women that are listed in Hebrews 11 and those who didn't make that chapter, Father, we recognize that these were ordinary people. They were rich, they were poor, they were men, they were ladies, they were all different ages, and yet, Father, you spoke to them all, and you helped them all. You were with them, and they are in the Bible because they dared to believe that an idea from you was possible. And Father, we just declare over ourselves that our God, with our God, nothing is impossible. That our God is great. Our God is awesome. He's almighty. He is able to do anything. And if God is the one who gives us the idea, we're able to take it another step. And so, Father, help us to be men and women of action. Help us to be men and women of faith. As they put new additions to chapter 11 into the history books in heaven, Father, may our names be there as well, because we took a simple idea and we said, I'm going to do something about that. I'm going to write it down. I'm going to begin to pray about it. I'm going to begin to ask, say, God, who do I need to talk to? How do I need to make this happen? And Father, we thank you that as we do this, you're pleased. As we do this, you begin to work for us. As we do this, upgrades come. So Father, would you be the one who helps us to see your plans, your dreams, your hopes come true. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.